If you are engaged in caring about something, if it matters to you, fear will accompany that. And so it is a natural part of moving through the world. Without fear, there is no meaning.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Story Life. This is a podcast about the ups and downs of living a creative life through the eyes of two independent filmmakers. My name is Clinton Cornwell, and I'm here with my good friend,
Alan C. Gardner. This is episode 38, which we recorded on July 25th, 2022. Solid year and a half ago. So yeah, another good old-fashioned throwback. In this episode, we kind of run the gamut. We were getting ready to launch our business in the podcast at the time, so we kind of discuss a little bit of that, get into some details here and there, go over a few things. We also get into our individual approaches to editing our films, especially in regards to like assemblies or first cuts, what have you. And then Clinton once again provokes me into a corner that I have to explain my way out of. Good times. It's classic us banter.
I felt a little bad about that.
No, you should have. No, don't feel bad about it. I think it led to another fruitful discussion. It's just funny listening back to those things because I can remember exactly how I felt and I can like feel it in like my response to it. I'm like, okay, how do I engage with this topic in a level-headed but clear and direct sort of way?
Everybody go check out our very minor friction and listen to the conversation.
That's funny.
Before we get to the episode, though, wanted to mention to y'all, we got a few different things here. We're not just a podcast at Story Life, although we do enjoy the podcasting. We love supporting our fellow artists. So we do that in the form of consulting and coaching. If you need notes on a script, need help on an edit, or you're struggling with kind of motivation or organizing your creative life, we are here to help you. We do free 30-minute consultations. So, you know, just hit us up. Contact us via our website, wearestorylife.com, or hit us up on social media. We're always happy to do that. Also, we are printing up stickers for Story Life, for the podcast.
What?
So, yes. I just decided this right now. We're going to print up stickers.
Dropping a bombshell like me on?
So, if you want a Story Life sticker to throw on stylishly on your laptop, on your wall, on the hood of your car, don't do that. That's probably not a good idea. Anyways, if you want a sticker, just message one of us. Either email us at wearestorylife@gmail.com. Oh, or hit either of us up on social media, and we'll send you a free sticker. So
what have
you
done? Oh my god!
Thanks, guys.
Well, I'm excited about the sticker action, as will be my 5-year-old. He loves stickers. This will be fantastic.
Well, if you can figure out emails or Instagram, you know, we can get one.
Okay. Yeah. Don't come to me directly, son. You got to go through the proper channels. Cool, man. That was thrilling. All right. On that invigorating note, let's dive into this discussion.
Are you still doing other take? I responded to the things in the thread. Are you doing more versions of the logo upcoming? Is that still your plan?
Yeah, I actually just I just signed up for the old 1-week free trial with Photoshop. I'm going to tinker around with that. Yeah, basically I was just saying like, I think we're so close. I just want to mess around with it a little bit more. We've kind of been springboarding off of each other's drafts and ideas and all that. So I just want to mess around with it a little bit more, create some more variations, run them by you, and maybe by Friday at the latest we can just pull the trigger on something, if that sounds good to you. So I think we're almost there.
I appreciated the detailed simplicity of the logo that I sent you, but it was also implementing a lot of the stuff that you said that you wanted, I felt like.
Yeah. No, I definitely like it. I liked it quite a bit. I just want to tinker around a little bit. So I also want to get it done, of course, but you know, it's a pretty big deal. It's almost as big a deal as we went back and forth on the name for quite a while for good reason, because we want to get that just right. And
we definitely can't really change.
Yeah, correct. And the logo I want to make it as good as possible, but also like I said before, like make sure like the bones are there, because I'm sure we'll go through different incarnations of it, but I would like to at least like have the image established, and so then like any changes we make will just be like, you know, a slight gloss on or a variation of like the, you know, the image, make it readily identifiable.
Yeah.
Can I ask you? Okay, so I read your comments before we hopped on. I just want to get clear on two things real fast. So yeah, this is the bio page. So our bio page will be like, side by side. Like, you can be on the left, just going alphabetically, like, have yours on the left and mine on the right, like, side by side, right?
Yeah.
And then testimonials page, we'll have them not side by side, just running top to bottom. So you're saying we should kind of, like, intersperse each other's, like, here's a testimonial for me, and then here's one for you. And then for, like, alternate, or just kind of, like, however... Or what were you thinking there?
Yeah, I was thinking like a unified testimonials up top. So if somebody was just looking at it quickly, they're just getting the gist of what. And then if we felt like it was necessary, we could do more specific testimonials for each of us down below. But I just wanted, you know, we're selling our unified product. So I guess I didn't want to make people feel like they had to make a decision to choose between the two of us up front.
Okay.
And more that they could just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, you know?
Yeah, I gotcha. I guess because my thing is I've gotten, you know, because so far, I mean, we've just started our collaboration and also like we are taking on clients separately. So it'd be hard.
Which
unified, like we're not going to get.
I have another paid client.
Woo! Oh,
nice. Just got my first payment today.
Oh, wow.
So first.
Who's
this? Cash money client.
Who's this client?
Liz Manischel recommended somebody to me. And
great.
I thought it didn't work out, really. We had our 30-minute session, and then I didn't hear from her. And then I sent like a follow-up email like a week later, and then I didn't hear from her, and I thought it was donezo. And
is this the person you're talking about last time who you thought it wasn't going to work out? Or is this someone different?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Cool.
I didn't hear from her for like a month. And then she just circled back around and was like, hey, yes, I do want coaching.
That's exciting.
And I was like, okay,
well done.
Awesome, sweet, let's do it.
That's awesome.
I have two clients.
Wow, look at you go. So just to be clear, so on the unified test, so basically, I mean, because we're going to be getting individual testimonials essentially for at least
yes.
a while. So we can just, like I said, kind of intersperse like, oh, just talking about one talking about Clinton and one talking about me. And then, yeah, we make it clear on there, like when they reach out to us, we just kind of whoever's. However we phrase it, I'm sure we'll go through whatever, different drafts. But yeah, just contact us and one of us will get back to you, basically, and set things up. And then we can just make an internal decision. All right, cool.
Totally.
And
I mean, if somebody recommends one of us specifically, for some reason we think they might be a better fit with one of us or the others,
yes.
We don't have really a sense of that kind of stuff yet right now. But if not, if it's just a random reach out, it can just be down to
yes.
what is each of our individual workloads and to like, we could just switch back and forth basically. Like,
yeah.
You got the last one, I'll get the next one kind of thing.
Totally. Okay, cool. Okay, so you're going to be getting an EDU address soon?
Yeah, I should like any day now be getting my EDU address, which... is like, I think it's like 50% off the first year for a personal plan.
Oh, that's great.
So,
okay. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good. Wait, how are you? You seem like you got some stuff going on.
No, I'm good. I mean, there's always, you know, this, that, and the other. No, at the moment, I'm good. I'm mostly just a little tired right now.
Cool. No, I was just going to say on the podcast, like, From the parsing I did of the podcast stuff, it's fairly easy to sign up and initiate all those things. So I was just kind of waiting until we had everything as it go. And then, you know, like I feel like it'll be much easier for me to onboard us on a podcast platform once we have all of our assets in place and we can play around with seeing how that's going to be distributed and everything. So that's why I've been waiting kind of on that. So,
okay. Well, I guess, we can talk about later, like what assets then we want to, you know, make sure are in place so that we can't. Yeah. To pull the trigger on figuring out what all we're gonna go up on. So we just need to make a list of whatever it is we do need to have together. Because right now we have...
I can tell you that. Logo, title,
okay.
The audio file, and then probably some... I think Mike can do it on his end, but a transcript written that is attached to the audio file.
Okay.
That's all we need, basically.
And then like a brief description of the pod.
Yeah, but brief description of the podcast, yeah.
Cool.
I like the heart on the logo, by the way, because I feel like that's our unique brand. The heart represents our unique brand in terms of like, even just listening to our podcasts, we're just getting into the real nitty gritty that I haven't really heard in a interesting/cohesive way from other filmmaking podcasts.
Okay. So, what if on some episodes, like on special episodes, like, you know, if it's been a tough week, it's a broken heart. Can we do that? Sure.
We can have that. We can have
no,
the broken heart.
No, never.
We're getting closer to launching. So I think we're just, I think we're both relishing this time to be able to talk for a moment to clarify.
Yeah. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling I'm excited about, zeroing in on the logo and then, messing around with the design for Squarespace, working on the press release. It's all feeling, you got a second client now. It's awesome. It's all feeling like we're right there, as you just said. So yeah, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
So you're feeling frazzled, you were saying.
Discombobulated was the word I used. And that was just, not frazzled. Frazzled, I guess, is when there's like anxiety at play. Discombobulated just means like, I feel like, you know, there are moments where like my brain's not working at 100% capacity. But absent of the, well, I mean, there's the usual degree of, you know, that usual undercurrent, that steady undercurrent of anxiety, but it's not, nothing is making it spike right at this moment, at least. Feeling good. No, overall things are really good. I had my first audition through my new agent over the weekend.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that was cool. It was nice diving into that. That's a big one. It was a self-tape. I think I'm finally getting my self-tape set up a little more refined around here. It's just hard, basically. I mean, it'd be nice if I could just have, if there was like a space where I'm like, oh, this is just where I have this set up for self-tapes and what have you. But that's not possible right now, and that's okay. So I just kind of have to bust it back out each time and just kind of, yeah, you know, getting in the swing of all that with the framing and the lighting and the audio and the backdrop.
Makes it more time intensive.
The backdrop and the, you know, the eye lines and getting a reader and this, that, and the other. In addition to, you know, actually prepping for the audition itself. So, but no, so it was good.
So
to
why
get
the discombobulation?
Oh, I think I'm just a little tired. Nothing crazy there. I think for whatever reason, when we first started talking, it was one of those moments where like you're asking me something and I don't know. I just felt like, oh, my response to this is a lot slower than it usually would be. That's it. So yeah, discombobulated more than frazzled. I'm good right
so
now.
So this is a question because I'm in this space right now. I was just talking to my therapist about it recently, but I think like my life has too much in it right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel that way. Like, as filmmakers, it's a tough line to walk because, like, you always want to be seeking new opportunities, new collaborators, new things, and, like, you want to be using your time as efficiently as possible. And so I don't know if you do this, but I feel like you're always taking on new things, taking new opportunities, but also you can get to a state where, like, you've gone too far.
Sure.
And there are too many things. And you either, at that point, you're going to start letting certain things drop and disappointing people. Because you're saying you're going to be doing something and you're not coming through and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to be feeling that discombobulated. You're going to be feeling that extra level of like stress because you have too much time, too many things to do, not enough time to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, aren't maybe taking care of yourself as a result as much as you should be. And so I think that, I don't know if you're in this state, but I personally am in this state, especially, you know, doing the career change that I am. I'm probably a little over the line.
Right.
I'm probably a little too much maxed out. And, you know, I need to start sort of evaluating, like, what things am I going to, like, I probably need to put down something. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a place now where I'm going to start evaluating what that something is that I'm going to put down. Because, like,
you're breaking up with me,
aren't you? No.
Right before we launch, you're like...
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
I mean, that is a consideration because our business, our podcast and stuff is one of those things.
Sure.
It does have a time a cost thing. And energy cost. And I'm also, you know, I'm writing a horror script with a good friend of mine. I'm developing the idea that the general idea that I pitched to you about the men and men's place in this world currently.
Uh-huh.
Like I started developing that. A version of that with somebody else. And so those are two writing things I'm working on. I'm also freelance editing a documentary full-time. I'm shooting a horror movie freelance, on weekends and stuff like that. You know, it's kind of like spot duty. Still got 12 months things going on.
Right.
I have another one of my short films that I'm editing, the one that I shot in January. I also have like two other short films that theoretically work needs to be done on. I have my horror feature film that I'm having to consistently like give notes on. You know, I have my romantic relationships, I have friendships. I also, you know, I'm doing this career change. It's going to require a lot of prep work and I'm moving and stuff like that. And the moving thing is temporary. So obviously that's just going to be a stress point. But I think even overall, once I start to settle in Nashville, some of these things are going to have to be set aside or paused or just dropped entirely. And now I'm in a space where I'm like, which of those things is it going to be? But I think when you're feeling that discombobulation, or you're not able to relax, or you feel like you have too much to do, that's a sign that maybe you've picked too many things up and it's okay to put some things down.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I think I'm constantly, you know, having to, with my projects and endeavors, prioritize and reprioritize and just figure out when. I guess I'm so used to that now. I know you are too, but like, but I also hear what you say, but I guess I'm just so used to like having to put certain things on the back burner, or like identify, like realizing when, okay, now is the time that I really have to get some momentum going here. Like, I mean, our podcast and business is a great example of like over the last few months, it was kind of like, okay, like we got some momentum going. Let's keep building upon that and really making some kind of incremental progress, at least like every week, you know? And we've been doing that. And that's for me, that's the only way things get done, especially when you are working on so many things. It's okay, choosing what to prioritize and then identifying like, okay, what all needs to get done on a weekly basis and then chipping away at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm kind of like, yeah. So obviously we've got on my end, like, you know, we've got, as far as projects go, yeah, we've got this going on. I'm also writing a horror script right now, which I recently decided like, okay, I need to finish a draft of that. Like I want to finish a draft by the end of September, basically. Right before Halloween season, as it were, just feels right. And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, okay, I can get there by this point. That's a realistic goal and a good goal. That I'm rewriting Breaker. You know, I've got my whole endeavor going on with my buddy Matt Gilliam, and you know, we're going through a big shift that he's been, you know, busy with work, having to travel out of town a lot recently. Then he has another a baby on the way in a couple months, so we're. Yeah. So we're kind of, he and I are kind of constantly having to figure out when to pause, or like what aspects of our endeavor to like focus on at any given time, and just identifying when it's like, okay, there might be a few months here where I can keep things going on my end, or vice versa. And then we'll reconvene at the right time. And then, you know, again, it's just all about, you know, I was telling this to a friend the other day too. I might have even already said it to YouTube, but basically it's like, I don't have just one bit, like some people, you know, they have like one big boulder or whatnot that they're moving up the hill. You know what I mean? No. I have like so many boulders of various sizes that I'm trying to move up the hill, that, because when you have just the one thing to focus on, then you can see the progress a lot more clearly and feel the progress a lot more clearly too, because you're focused on that endeavor, you know? But when you have like a variety of things and you're a little spread thin at times, it's like, things are all moving a little more slowly because you're only able to put in like X amount of time to each one every week. So again, like every week I just try to figure out like, okay, what really needs my attention this week, and like creating deadlines that I can hold that are realistic, that I can hold myself to, things that will allow me to, you know, keep progressing on all fronts. But yeah, man, it's tricky. I empathize.
Well, and I think that's just like, you know, obviously in a perfect situation, you would just pick up a project, work on that full time or as much time as you could, and then finish it and then move on to the next one. But unfortunately, you know, especially being filmmakers, it's a collaborative form. And I think as a result of that collaboration, you're often in a holding pattern where you might be waiting for other people, waiting for other people to deliver, or waiting for when they're available. And you can't move forward things until those other people are available. And so as a result, to maximize your time, you pick up other things.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And that's just a natural part of the process that you have to do, because you can't just wait around until your co-writer or the actor's ready, or a producer is ready, or your funding comes in, or what have you, you know. Or your editor is delivering a new cut or whatever. Like you have to pick up other things in the meantime, or else it will just, your processes will be so much slowed down.
Yeah.
Which also might be okay too. If you like, you can have a really slow process if you're, I think, already in a career space where you feel pretty satisfied. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that really describes either of us. We're still hustling. We're still trying to level up.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically, I'm trying to make things more sustainable, and trying to be able to make more movies and have more collaborations while paying the bills. Yeah, so that, yeah, and as you know, I'm still trying to finish editing the last movie, so that's another big endeavor going right now, too, and then marketing the other films. I can't remember if I think I told you this already. I've got a new intern I'm really excited about who's going to get me up on TikTok, a place where I've never been. But he's a young guy, he's a college guy, and he got his professor to make marketing for me, like, to fulfill like internship requirement. So I'm excited about that. I like his ideas
a lot.
That's
cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very fortunate. I met him on, when I went and acted in that movie in Alabama in March, I met him on that. Really nice guy. So yeah, so that's exciting. And then anyway, and then I've always got like, I'm sure, and I know you're like this too. Like, so I'm focused on the writing front, on the horror script right now, but I have the next few scripts like in the wings, like, you know, like focus on writing that mm-hmm. and also revising Breaker Breaker. And once those are done, like I kind of already know which ones I'm going to go to next anyway. And then I've kind of re-jump started my acting career again recently, as you know, so I'm putting time into that as well. I'm trying to get that going more too. So anyway, yes. And there's,
but
other
when
stuff,
a freelance but, project comes in for you, that becomes the priority, right?
Yeah, and then other things. Yeah, then I'm applying for like other jobs, and then like, you know, whatever it is, like another gig might pop up, and then, you know, it depends on the duration of that gig. Some of these things, like jobs I get, are just like a 1 or 2 day kind of thing, and then that pops up, and I have to shift to that for, you know, for that 1 or 2 days or however long it is. So, but yeah, like you said, like there's always like I definitely find the value in having like various irons in the fire and different things going, and because it's nice too to be able to like toggle between something like writing a script, which is very much accessing like a certain part of your, you know, your brain and that skill set, and then switching over to something that's more like on the producing side or editing, which is, you know, pretty connected to the writing side, but you're dealing with concrete, you're dealing with puzzle pieces there. You know what I mean? You're kind of creating the puzzle pieces, yeah. But you have something, that tangible thing. Whereas on the writing side, like, you know, you're pulling it all from your mind, from the ether, like what have you. So anyway, it's good to have, for me overall, the way my mind works, it's good to have various things to work on. And like I said, the trick is just knowing on a weekly or even like daily basis, like what do I need to focus on to keep everything, you know, moving forward and to remain, you know, fulfilled. So
yeah,
man. And I think you're especially, I mean, like any like major transition, which you have on the horizon, that's a huge transition. So that's only going amplify, you know, the pressure, anxiety, what have everything that you're talking about. Like I can imagine like how I would feel in that situation. So yeah, I think once, you know, with every passing day, obviously you're going to feel a little more, and once you get there, like it's, you know, all about like getting there too, just like just being there and then finding your footing in that place. I think once that kind of happens, like a couple weeks into that gig, I'm sure you'll start feeling a little more stabilized.
Definitely.
It's a big
deal,
dude.
Doesn't make it any easier, but good to know. Yeah, good to know that, you know, it's good to be aware that you're in the middle of a process, and even if you can't see it, there is a light at the end of that tunnel, as opposed to just being an emotional reactive mess. Always positive for sure.
Yeah.
What else?
I do.
Oh, what's just general question? What is the your edit at with Baby Come Home? What statuses? What's the place is that at?
Getting there. I'll say that it's getting there. No, I've made a lot more progress. That's another thing. So like the week before last week, I was making a lot of progress. Or like basically the week before last week and the week before that, I started making a lot more progress on it and feeling good about it. And then this past week, I was like, okay, now I also need to get the. I kind of took the editing time to focus on the horror script. So I also want to get that. Again, I'm like, okay, I need to get this done by, you know, end of September, or at least a draft of it done, pretty much done by the end of September. So, but now this week I'm like, okay, so I've kind of like, I've got good progress going on the horror script now. Now this week I need to go back into the edit kind of like during the day more. And then like maybe at night kind of keep, you know, tilling the soil on the horror script. Cause I don't want to lose the momentum I'm having on that, you know what I mean? But also like, so it's that toggling, that's just a prime example right now of like, okay, because those are two of the bigger endeavors that I'm like actively working on every week is the edit for Baby Come Home and then writing this horror script. So trying to make sure, I'm not losing momentum on either side. So while working on all the other things I'm working on. So getting there. I'll be really excited once it's there. Once I have a cut of that, it's going to be it's going to feel good.
So you're still in like your first kind of rough cut phase?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's an interesting time for us to segue, because I just started, so that short film I shot in January, I'm editing now, Birdsong, and I just laid down the assembly edit. The script was like 20 pages, I think, or 25 pages, and...
Was this the one you did is this Atlanta or Vegas?
Yeah, this is the one that I did in Atlanta, and I co-directed with Elizabeth Hirschtauber.
Cool.
And... I laid down the assembly edit. It took me about 12 hours, I think, to throw together the assembly edit. And that's kind of long, I think, for how long it is. But I also, I can only let the edit be so bad. So, there was a little bit of exploration there. And now that creates just the very basic bones to me for me to build upon something. Because the worst feeling ever for me as an editor is similar to what the worst feeling ever for me as a writer, which is like staring at a blank page without anything to build off of and staring at a blank timeline without anything to build off of is really, really horrible. Whereas now for me, having... Even though it's really bad, having that assembly edit down lets me sort of problem solve and like see what's not working, see what could be better, and build upon it from there. And so that's a very important first step in my process towards the rough cut. Because to me, it's just like until the picture is locked. To me, it's like just constantly fixing problems and then discovering new problems with the edit, fixing them, discovering new problems until you don't see any problems anymore, or you've like fixed the problems to the best of your ability, basically. And that's when you picture lock. So I guess what stage is your cut at right now for you?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess this is, I'm learning more all the time about the different ways that our brains work and our processes and whatnot. So I guess I bring my cut, with each scene, I basically do a solid cut of it. I guess more so than just an assembly of it. I kind of am pretty precise with it in the first cut. And who knows, maybe whatever. We each work in our own ways. But so basically each scene, by the time I'm done on the picture side, editing it, is a pretty presentable cut of that scene.
So you don't do assembly edits?
I don't. Not really. Not usually. I mean, I guess I would describe, after hearing what you said, I guess I would say no, I don't.
Well, the purpose for me of an assembly edit is just to quickly throw things down. You try and use every shot, every shot that you do in a scene at least once within an assembly edit, and just quickly throw things down to see, sort of try and spot where issues might be, so that if you need to get pickups, or you're aware of that on the sooner end. And then also just kind of have a starting thing to work off, have something everybody can see, know that the movie is there, know that you have the movie in the can, doing this assembly edit. I already saw, I was like, oh, we're missing two shots from a scene that we're probably going to need to pick up. And that's going to be, it's going to be an issue to cut around them. But now I know really early on in the editing process, that's something to keep in mind, so that's kind of And also just getting that first cut out the window, to me, it takes a lot of the pressure off. Yeah, so instead of instead of doing something like you're doing, which is working really hard to get this rough cut before you could call it your first official cut, I'm like, no, this is this assembly cut and it's really fucking horrible. But here, everybody can see it if they really want to see it. And it's really, really bad and it doesn't have music or sound effects or anything like that. But here you can see we have a movie. There is a movie there somewhere and eventually it'll be finished.
There are definitely pros and cons to my approach. It kind of my mentality kind of applies to everything I do to something. For example, someone will text me or write me a message. And if it, to me, requires, for the most, I put time and thought into everything that I write, including text messages, whereas some people will just rattle off a really quick, whatever, very simple, no punctuate, whatever it is, or just an emoji even. I'll usually spend a certain amount of time crafting my response, sometimes more so than is necessary, but I don't know. And so then sometimes, the detriment there can be since it takes me a little time to write each person back, sometimes that means it might take me longer to write someone back. I mean, it just depends on the urgency of the message too.
Yeah.
But some people will just like rattle off a thing and like, I want to put thought into it. So again, which has, you know, there's pros and cons to that. Sometimes it might be better for me to just rattle off a thing, but that's just not how I'm wired. Like,
well,
I want to, I want
to
craft.
You of all.
What's that?
In our communications, I release you of all burden of being eloquent.
I appreciate
or
that.
Thoughtful.
I appreciate
or
that.
I release you. Feel free to invest the smallest amount of energy possible to respond to something. And
I appreciate
I
that.
I will be patient and kind and accepting of whatever it is you're able to manage, because I understand that burden, because a lot of times, for a long time, I worked that way too. And then at a certain point, I was like, I just have too many fucking messages to write, and I need mm-hmm. to let it go a bit.
I gotcha. But yeah, no, everything you're saying about the assembly edit, like, I like the sound of all of it.
So this is a little bit of a digging into Alan thing, which is becoming a consistent thing. But you're very precious with your work, which I find a little surprising, considering, like, you're worried about sharing scripts with the world, and it sounds like you're very precious, like, worried about sharing edits with the world and stuff. And I guess, like, do you have a, I don't know, is it feel too vulnerable to share things in progress for you? Like, somebody's gonna, like, reject or judge you based on sharing something.
So I think you've taken this, you've kind of taken what we've talked about, and you've kind of run in a different direction with it than what where my head's at.
Yeah.
Because, so let me just be clear. I wrote this to you in the Slack. I don't know if you just willfully ignored it, or you just didn't make it for good content on this discussion. But first of all, just on a base level, like, I think that sharing notes on a podcast for a script or an edit that the listener hasn't read or seen is just confusing mm-hmm. and not good content, because they don't know what the uh-huh. fuck you're talking about. So it's like on a base level, that's what I think. It's like people would listen to it and be like, okay, but they don't have the reference point of the work itself. So
yeah,
that was my main issue with that. It wasn't so much about sharing, but then also, like, on that note though too, so say like the fix to that would be like, oh, to make a script or something available to listeners so that they would have that frame of reference, know what we're talking about. But I'm not going to do that with my, like, because I want to release my movies and, you know, to basically by the time I share the movies with people, like, I want to be in a state where they can watch it. I don't want to give away things from a script for a movie that I'm going to make in a year or two or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'd be fine with, like, sharing it with, like, with you. What I mean, also, too, like, at this point, like, with my, a lot of my stuff, like, I mostly, like, I'll have test screenings for certain projects. Sometimes I won't. Like, good example is, like, Cold Feet, we did a test screening. And it was great. It was very helpful. Being Awesome, I did a test screening. It was very helpful. But sometimes I won't. Like, Save Yourself, I'm like, I'm not going to do a test screening for this. I just kind of knew exactly, like, I'm like, I just didn't feel the need for it. We got lucky, same thing. Although, you know, we did it as a play for a few weeks. So that was informative too. You know, went through that whole rehearsal process and then the run. So by the time we got to shooting, then by the time, you know, I went to editing, I had a pretty good idea of what was working and what needed to be changed, blah, 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 blah. So it just depends on the project. But if I'm not doing test screenings, then usually, like, I'll, you know, get notes from, like, my producing partners, whoever I'm making it with. But unless it's a specific thing, like, I don't know. I guess I just don't feel, I don't really feel it a lot. Like, at this point, maybe it's part, you know, from having written so much. I don't know. Like, I have a good gauge of what's working, what's not. And I want the feedback from people I'm working on it with. But otherwise, I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I don't usually go seeking feedback elsewhere. So I want to make sure that I'm good with it and that my partners are good with it. And if I'm having, like, doubts about something, that'd be a different thing. But if I feel like, I don't know. So it's not that I'm worried about, like, it's not a, when you say precious about it, well, the thing I find so funny about that though too is, like, everything I'm doing is a result of, like, everything, as I said before, everything scares me, but everything I'm doing is not even so much defiance of that fear, but it's like, if I don't let my fears hold me back. If my fears held me back, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah.
You know, I've been told, like, what I could and couldn't do since I was a kid by other people. And I basically willfully just kind of, you know, I would cry about it or whatever, like, to myself, I'd go through my personal heartbreaks and I would do the fucking thing anyway if I had a conviction about it. So, you know, as you know, like me coming out to Los Angeles when I was 18, like, you know, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Putting myself
out. It seems like, I feel like this is all, I mean, it's somewhat connected to you. You're saying the text messages, and I think what I'm, you know, forgive me for trying to create interesting podcast content and also get to know you more. But it feels like all maybe somewhat connected to the fear that you talked about before about being sort of misunderstood and misrepresented as a result of people.
That's part of it too. But I guess what I'm trying to say, and like the proof is there, is that like that I have those fears, and I'll always have those fears to some extent, but they clearly haven't held me back. Because I keep doing things that scare me. And the text messages, I mean, a lot of that just comes down to, like, I try to be more thoughtful than a lot of people. Like, I try to, like, I think it's important. I like to put thought into things. Again, sometimes, like, you know, I don't want to, it's that balance of everything. Like, you know, you don't want to spend more time than is whatever you deem necessary at any given moment, like with everything else you have going on. Like sometimes I guess what's more important is just to get back to the person quickly, which I also try to do, you know, to do that as quickly and as thoughtfully as possible. So, but yeah, there is the whole thing about being misunderstood, but that has nothing to do with the notes aspect of it. I guess I just felt like it wasn't a good idea for a podcast, basically.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We'll do it at some point with the script of mine, and you can rip up my script.
But also, that being said, though, too, it's like, and like as I said before, too, like I wouldn't want to give you notes necessarily, or someone or anyone notes on a podcast. Like I'm totally down to do that. Sometimes too, like I find it most helpful to write down my notes, so the person can then read and digest. And because sometimes, like when we, you know, we say things, like it's good to like write them down and for them to read it and so they can absorb it and go from there. Because sometimes a natural tendency, and for good reason, I think the more experience we get, this becomes less the case. But still, it's like if you're just giving me notes for the first time out loud or vice versa, like, you know, we might have that natural reaction like, oh, well, we want to explain why we did the thing, why we wrote the thing the way that we did, right? Or why we did the certain cut the way that we did. And so sometimes I find it most helpful, like, and to do it in writing, one, to like get it all across clearly, and two, so then the person can read it, absorb it, and then figure out the response from there, as opposed to feeling more on the spot, you know?
Yeah.
And then having a conversation about it from there, I kind of find more helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back, I mean, the whole misunderstood thing. I mean, yeah, that's just part of my personality. It's like one of my pet peeves and one of my biggest fears is like feeling misunderstood. But again, it's like, if I let that hold me, but like, we wouldn't be doing this, that's for sure. Because this is a lot of us being very intimate and talking. There's a lot of things that we talk about where I could very easily, like, you know, go down a rabbit hole of just feeling misunderstood, or like, oh, I shouldn't have said a certain thing a certain way, or I hope I came across.
Yeah, it'll be
way.
Interesting how each of us interprets or handles sort of our voices being so out into the world.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess that won't really, it probably won't really register with us until people start listening and commenting, and then something bad happens, and then we'll really have to reckon with it.
Yeah. And we'll see.
Because
like
inevitably something will have, something bad will happen. Something will get misinterpreted, or we'll say something that in retrospect maybe wasn't the best thing to say or whatever. It's just, I mean, you put yourself out there. That's a natural thing that's going
to happen.
And
I guess that's my point.
And
it's like,
it'll be interesting when we deal with that.
Yeah. And it's something to, you know, make clear to my kids too, is like, the point is like, yeah, everything scares me. Because also like, because I care a lot about like everything that I do. And so usually, for the most part, it's a healthy fear. And the big thing is like, everyone has these fears. And the big thing is you just don't let them hold you back. And I don't. Like, if it's something that my reason for not doing something will never be because I'm like afraid to do it. It would be because I don't have a conviction about doing it, or I don't feel a need to do it. Because sometimes people will do the thing where it's like they put their wants or needs or whatever like upon you. And then if you don't want to do that thing, then it's like, what are you, scared or some bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
But really, it's just about their shit. And so you just have to, whatever it is that you feel the need to do, you need to do that and not let your fear of it hold you back.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Everything. And this is something I also try to impart to like when I do workshops, when I talk to, you know, clients or anyone, like impart, like everything scares me. Like, and that's healthy. That's a good thing because it means you're engaged and you care. And then a lot of, you know, you start putting one foot in front of the other And yeah, if it's something you feel compelled to do, then it's worth it.
Absolutely. If you are engaged in caring about something, if it matters to you, fear will accompany that. And so it is a natural part of moving through the world. Without fear, there is no meaning.
Yeah. And also there's, you know, it's good to, you know, that challenge. So you should all, like, I like the feeling of, that's the funny thing, I guess, about like your initial question is like the vulnerability. Like I live, like I'm all about, like I say, like, I'm all about being as vulnerable as possible as often as I can. Like I want to be completely vulnerable. The goal, again, striving, I want to be completely vulnerable all the time. I want to strive for that. By when I say vulnerable, I just mean open and out there. And I, you know, every day, like you become aware of like certain things that might hold me back from this, that, or the other. And I just, you know, work through those things and just, I want to stay vulnerable. So I don't have any issue with, and I mean, that's kind of like my whole thing really, like as a, which again, I think was the irony of the question, because like, as you know, from seeing my work and just from talking to me, like my whole thing is like being vulnerable and connecting with people. And that informs my work as a storyteller, for sure, as an actor, everything, and then just as a person.
But I mean, I just think it's interesting. And I think this podcast has a nice little tool for us, and maybe it'll be illuminating for each of us, I think, over time, because there are flaws as individuals that we know of, mm-hmm. and we're like working to address, and we understand those like sort of vulnerabilities and what scares us and stuff like that. But there are also our flaws and vulnerabilities and sort of weak spots that we don't know of, that we're taking actions to avoid or hide or cover up. And we're not really aware of that process as fully. And, you know, I mean, that's just part of being a human being. And so I think we have a little bit of a privilege here in that we're making this and putting this out to the world. And hopefully people will listen to it and there will be like a feedback loop there. But part of that feedback loop, I think, will inevitably be sort of shining a light on parts of ourselves that we didn't know needed a light shown on them.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, we'll see what the hell happens, basically. I think at this point, too, like everything, like, you know, all these experiences that I've had have been a good training ground for the next thing and the next thing, as far as receiving feedback from people, especially when it comes to people who don't know you.
Yeah.
And also even people who do know you, like they might everyone still kind of comes at things with their own perspectives, obviously. And sometimes the issues happen when they, again, like try to project their whatever onto you, or something that drives me crazy just in general, whether it's my stuff or just any work, where people share their opinions. And I get it, like, but it drives me crazy when people share their opinions as if they try to pass off their opinions as facts, especially when it comes to any kind of like art, any kind of create, like, well, this movie's terrible and that's it. And that's the bottom line. Anyone thinks otherwise is a fucking idiot or like whatever. It's like, okay, so you just
absolutely
100% think that your opinion is that's just kind of how it is. Like I read multiple like posts over, not to go on a whole tangent, but hey, that's what I do. Like I saw Nope on Saturday night, fucking brilliant, loved Nope. And of course, like, you know, within a few, like you go on Facebook or whatever, and it's like, someone's just like 0 out of 10. This movie was like total garbage and this, that, and the other. Don't go, like all these things. And then like someone might be like,
yeah,
thank God you made that post, 'cause I was gonna go see it. But now that I read your post here, I'm not going to go see it. Thanks for the, you know, whatever. I'm just like, oh my God, drives me crazy. I can't even look at it. It's like, see the thing for yourself. If you're interested in seeing it, make your own opinion. And when you have your own opinion, like just try to be, I don't know, have some shred of humility and don't act like your opinion is. I mean, I know people get psyched about like whatever they feel about something, but when it comes to like a combative thing, especially when it comes to art and it just like takes the form of them just tearing something down just because they didn't like it. I'm much more the kind of person, I'm like, oh, well, it just wasn't for me, and here's why, or this, that, and the other, as opposed to, I don't know. I just get no pleasure whatsoever in criticizing or trashing, like, anything. Unless I think, and I'm sure we talked about this before, too, like, unless I think the intentions behind it were malicious. But that's very, very rarely the case. Or if I just think something was just, like, you know, I don't know. I definitely have talked about this in the pod before too, but like, because it's true. Like, unless I think something is just like morally bankrupt or something that just I find deeply offensive for whatever reason. Otherwise, I don't really take joy in taking something to shreds. So anyway, but I've also read, like, you know, I mean, it'll be different. Yeah. In this context, as far as just a podcast and just me talking to you and vice versa, and just our personalities, like, unfiltered out there. But I've certainly read enough criticism about my work over the years that I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready for it. Well, you know, come what may, we'll see what happens. We'll go from there.
Yeah, we shall. Anything else we should talk about? I don't know. We should try and pick, because this was so meandering, we should try and pick a specific topic for next time. So, you know,
well, I do recall that you wanted to get into the stuff that you got into more.
Oh, I'm not assigning blame here. I'm not assigning.
No. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I remember distinctly, like, because last episode we talked about DP relationship, but when we were recording before then, you were wanting to dive into all the stuff that you kind of like dove into more with me here. So I feel like we accomplished the goal there.
That's but good.
I hear what you're saying.
I didn't even have that in mind. I'm just a curious human being.
Yeah,
I guess.
I know. I'm telling you, going back and like listening to the old episodes, it's very like illuminating. It's interesting. It's like, oh yeah. Again, just putting things into context and seeing like certain patterns, just the way our different approaches to things. And just the way our minds work is interesting. And hopefully listeners will feel the same way.
Yep, and I look forward to continuing the journey.
I do as well. Thanks for not ending this podcast in business during the podcast. I appreciate it. I know you got your plate full. I know you got your plate full, Clinton. But I just want to make our case real fast. I think we got a good thing going here, man. I think I'm feeling the momentum. I'm ready to launch. And just hang in there, buddy. Just hang in there.
Yeah, I gotta express a bit of gratitude. Part of it is certainly it's been a weird time in the world, in our lives, but isn't it quite kind of wild that we've been doing this for like 2 years?
Yeah.
We've been having these conversations consistently. 30. Like, that's fucking wild to me.
Yeah. I don't take that for granted either. It's pretty wild to me too. Like all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but seemingly all of a sudden, like here we are. Cause it's something that very, very easily could have, cause you know, to the point that we're, you know, everything we have going on, it's something that very could have just fallen by the wayside at any point.
Absolutely.
Especially early on, if either one of us had been like, I just don't have the time. But instead, like, you know, there'd be stretches where we might not have time, but we made a point of finding the time when we could. And that's, you know, how we kept building this. So that's how we're going to continue to build it. And that's why also too, like, I feel like. It was kind of cool, like having those, you know, the first year and a half or whatever before, or, you know, almost 2 years before we kind of decided to do the venture together, because I'd already had the experience of collaborating with you and to a certain extent, you know, and figuring out like how you handle, like just how you handle things, you know, so that made me know going into the business, I'm like, okay, I think we've got something here. Like I already kind of have a sense of what it's like to work with this person. Cause honestly, that's one of the hardest things going into any endeavor with someone else is, you know. It's hard to work with certain people, especially when it's like you're sharing the leadership role or whatever it is. Like, you know, you're building something together. I've had issues, you know, you want to make sure that the other person's going to pull their weight and that you're going to be on the same page with them too. And that, you know, egos won't flare up and this, that, or the other. So anyway, I'm appreciative for sure.
Me too, bud.
And I'm excited, man.
With me.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So we'll talk more soon, and I'll have some money from a paying client,
congrats,
to
man.
Deposit to our co-accounts.
Yeah,
soon. So
yeah, we'll discuss. We'll figure out that. Our old money management approach and whatnot. But yeah, man, congrats. That's very exciting.
Cool.
Good job.
Thanks, dude.
All right, bye. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, we'll be in touch and talk more soon.
Sounds good, man. All right, have a good one. Later.
All right, later. All right, that wraps up our chat about all sorts of things, comfortable and uncomfortable. Alan, you got any reaction to what we just heard there?
No, again, like, you know, I enjoyed diving back into our psyches from like a year and a half ago. And no, once again, I felt like, yeah, we covered some good things there. Any opportunity that I get to correct you, to set the record straight, just kidding, is an opportunity that I cherish. I relish it. So I enjoyed it. What about you, Clinton? Any follow-ups? Any follow-up questions?
No. I think this is a very on brand episode. Really get into a bunch of like squishy stuff. In a good way. In a very good way. You know.
I would say so. Overall, positive.
Yeah. I definitely poked very specifically into you.
Into me.
Very direct. And listening back to it, I was like, you know, I could have could have been a bit more gentle about that. So sorry about that. But I mean, it did. I do think it's like interesting conversation to hear that stuff play out.
Yeah. I find too that we have some sort of a different version of that discussion, like whatever it may be, like every now and then, like every few months, something like that comes up where try to put long story short there, where it's like you ask me about something that you think is like a tendency of mine. And then like I try to explain it and kind of point out the fact that like we wouldn't even be doing this if like that was a tendency of mine, or you know what I'm saying? Where
yes, kind
of like
yes.
It's like a snake eating its own tail kind of thing. Where I'm just kind of like,
it's sort of by virtue
of the fact that we're doing this, like that shows that kind of, I think that kind of like is proof.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I'm noticing a pattern here. Does this mean this, Alan? And you're like,
yeah, 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 yeah. I did appreciate, I'm like, oh, like, you know, even though if I feel like he might misinterpret something or whatever, like, I like that he's paying attention and that he's like, you know, that you, once I'll just speak to you now, but I do like that you're kind of like, yeah, like trying to understand me more and getting to know me more. So like, that's a very positive thing. And I appreciate that. That was another big takeaway from listening to this episode.
Well, and something, I mean, maybe this is something I need to recognize about myself is that, I am a very observative person, especially of the people around me. Then that does make me notice patterns. But
right.
I think even just in pointing out a pattern, that can be a little like that can, you know, catch people off guard a little bit, you know, because you're seeing something. I'm not saying this happened with you, but I've definitely had it happen with others where it's like I'm seeing something that they may not even be seeing about themselves or have not thought about themselves that much regularly or don't know that something is a pattern. And that can be, even if it's said in a nice way, can be a bit sort of like put people on the back foot.
Yeah, it puts you in a position sometimes where it's like, oh, and again, you know, you can either be defensive or you just try to like calmly like explain it, or like, you know, it just depends on what the situation might be and the exact circumstance. Like sometimes things can, you know, be food for thought, be kind of revealing and something to consider, or sometimes it's just like, no, Clinton, and here is, no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, again, I try to see the good in all of it, and I feel like it ultimately was a positive discussion. So, go fuck yourself and thank you at the same time. Just kidding. Where were we?
Where were we? Indeed. Indeed, where were we? Okay, so we here at Story Life believe in supporting independent film, especially because we are independent filmmakers. If you are someone out there trying to make short films, trying to get your first feature film going, make sure you are supporting the community you want to be a part of by watching independent films. So we try and recommend ones that we get exposed to. We try and watch them regularly. Something I want to kind of like, this is kind of dual recommendation here. I was lucky to be invited to Cinema Sala, which is a screening series here in Los Angeles celebrating Filipino and Filipino-American filmmaking, which there is a whole community and a whole like culture and perspective of films there, which I feel so grateful to have been invited by a friend of mine to go. And it was a really great experience. So first off, I recommend Cinema Sala. Support the organization. Check out their events. Check out things they got going on. Follow them on social media. And then also the screening that I went to, again, a Filipino film called Where is the Lie? It's kind of about a trans woman who gets fished on online dating and sort of the backs and forth of that and kind of done through a romantic comedy lens. So it's got a lot of really interesting elements going on and highly recommend checking it out. Like, really interesting film.
Nice.
Oh, and I also went, whoa, because I went to its IMDb rating to try and find, you know, where it is screening and stuff. Its IMDb rating is 3.6, which is crazy low. Like, it does not deserve to be 3.6. So
yeah.
I wonder if a bit of that is related to the content and people maybe being a bit shitty about what the content is. Because there are, it has 27.1 ratings out of 44. Oh, I'm not saying it's a perfect film or anything like that, but it's well enough made that it should not have that. It has currently 62% rating of ones. So 62% of the people that have rated it have rated it one. It is is too well made a film to have that many one ratings. And so to me, it's like, I'm not going to be prescriptive, but something's going on there. And it just happens to be a film about trans people. So think about that, whatever you want.
Yeah, there's some bullshit afoot there. Folks, don't necessarily take IMDb ratings as some sort of accurate reflection of the quality of a film. Because, a lot of times people come into it with a bit of an agenda or something going on, some sort of bullshit that muddies the waters and leads to what Clinton just talked about. So there's that.
Well, and if you watch the film and enjoy it, go rate it on IMDb. Give it a 10. Like, balance out that bullshit, you know? It only takes you a few seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you're logged in on IMDb, it's literally just go click the star rating and give it a 10. I just did it right now, so... again, all these things in independent film community, every little leg up matters, right? Like this film.
Yeah,
this film, I wouldn't say it's like super low budget. I don't know exactly what its budget level is, but it's not a small budget. It's only got 44 ratings on IMDb. So every single rating has a massive impact. And it's case for a lot of indie films. So like, you know. Participating in the community, watch the films, yes, but also support the films. Go rate them. Go recommend them to friends, you know, because we don't have, and these films don't have, like, the sort of reach, the sort of advertising budgets of a Marvel movie, nor should they.
Well, mine do.
Your micro-budget films with a $100 million advertising budget?
Yeah, exactly. It's like $20,000 for the movie, and then, $100 million marketing. Just makes sense. Awesome. Great recommendation. Well, looking forward to checking that one out as well. On that note, if you have a film, whether it's one of your own or friends or someone you're a fan of their work, and you'd like for us to check it out, please reach out and let us know.
We'll send you a sticker for that, too.
Wow. We're really
you can contact us at wearestorylife@gmail.com. Also, please check our website, wearestorylife.com. You find more information there about everything we do. Also, you follow me on Twitter, Instagram. That's probably the easiest place if you want to connect with me. Clinton Cornwell.
Does that go for me as well? Is that how I connect with you? Instagram, true. Okay, sweet. And likewise, Clinton, if you want to connect with me, you can check me out on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Vimeo at Alan C. Gardner. That's AllenCGardner. And on Instagram at Alan C. Gardner Movies. If you want to check out some of my recent films, head on over to my Linktree, which is linktree.com/Alan C. Gardner. We will find, that's right, links to Cold Feet, Save Yourself, Act One, We Got Lucky, Bad Bad Men, and Being Awesome.
Sorry.
That's how you thank Mike, by giving him more nonsense.
We're going counter. We're going the other way. We need to do minimal thanks to Mike to balance out the massive amount of thanks to being given. Like
Clinton, Mike's gotten
too big
here.
For his Jesus. Britches. He's not humble anymore. So we gotta balance it out. No, we love you, Mike. Thank you, Mike Jimenez, for editing this podcast, for putting up with all our BS for all these going on years now. So appreciate you, man. Also, thanks to your friends and family who also have been putting up with our BS for years. But we feel massively supported by all of them, and we appreciate it.
Yes, agreed on all accounts. Mike, you and your arrogance are greatly appreciated. And we're happy to be responsible for your inflated ego at this point. Thanks, buddy. And thanks to all of our family and friends. Couldn't do it without you guys. Folks, we have many more episodes coming up, so please subscribe and join us next week.
This has been Clinton Cornwell.
And Alan C. Gardner.
With Story Life.
We got to talk about our sticker budget. And we'll do that off mic, though. Thanks, guys. Take care. Yeah, I reciprocate. That's not the word. That's not the correct word.